Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Community groups and nonprofit organizations are speaking out against a local activist's arrest. Friday night, Food Not Bombs was passing out free meals to folks downtown. The group of volunteers has done this for 14 years in the same location. Pensacola police arrested one person, but let the community event ultimately go on despite saying it violated the city ordinance.
Yeah, so Friday night, 14 years of feeding people at the Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza, which is a park and also a median. And that's going to be part of the issue in this particular story, I believe, is, you know, Michael Kimbrell, a local homeless advocate, a friend. He's been on the show many times. He was out there with Food Not Bombs, and they were feeding people, and a PPD officer comes up and starts talking to him and says, you know, it's really hard to make out on the video, I'll be honest with you. I watched about 5 minutes of this 9-minute video, and I just thought I can't make it out well enough to be able to, I can't share it on the radio because there's barely any audio you can play. But eventually says, you know, give me your ID. And Michael says, well, why do I have to? I haven't done a crime. And in Florida, just being a pedestrian doesn't mean you have to produce your ID unless if you're a driver. Yes, because you're the driver and that's a permissible activity. Like you have to have a permit for it. Passengers do not and pedestrians do not. And, you know, so this becomes, you won't give me your ID. You're out here in the park and you're not supposed to be in a park after dark. And I'm going to arrest you for violating that ordinance and for resisting arrest, apparently.
Gabriel was volunteering with Food Not Bombs. The group of volunteers had provided free meals for homeless individuals in downtown Pensacola since 2011. It's happened at the same spot, not at the same time, with a lot of the same people for 14 years. This past Friday, Pensacola police said it violated a city ordinance.
Go straight up to Mike, trying to make a point or some tells us we're not allowed to be in the park doing a food share. We've been there for 14 years on every Friday at the same time for 14 years, 6 p.m. He says we don't have an ordinance to be in the park, or we're a violating ordinance. We need a permit, or we need to move somewhere else.
So that was a video put up by Offensive, OFFENTSIVE, local homeless advocacy group. And, yeah, I think some of the particulars of the case may be relevant, and I'm, you know, trying to be cautious with my opinions until I know a little bit more. But based on what I've seen, here's how it reads to me. Even if this organization is in violation of a city ordinance, which, again, because I don't know whether you classify it as a park or as a median, it's kind of both. You know, is it illegal to be there after dark? Yeah. It's not been enforced that way for an awful long time, either on Friday when they're doing the feedings or really at any other time. So to sort of suddenly start enforcing it on a random Friday against one person only and not to clear out the, you know, like, because they could have gone, you know, brought in enforced to clear them out. And that's not what happened. So even best case scenario, it's gray to me from the law enforcement side. And producing an ID is, or refusal to produce an ID on its own is not a reason to arrest somebody. Usually, it seems like an opportunity missed to de-escalate, avoid, say, okay, I was just trying to find out what's going on. You know, there's all kinds of off-ramps that could have been taken and seem like they should have been taken. Again, I'm willing to wait to hear more. Of course, you know, I'm a big supporter of law enforcement, good friends with, you know, all of my cops locally. That doesn't mean the cops are always right. And I'll say that in this case, I won't go as far as to say the cop was wrong, because I want to know more before I say that, but it doesn't look like what they did was the best, and looks like better opportunities were missed and should have probably taken some of the opportunities instead of winding up arresting Mike, who doesn't sound like was doing really anything particularly wrong. And that, you know, that leads me to think that it was bad judgment in the moment. Even if it's legally justified. Now, if it's not legally justified, then really bad judgment, right? Because then you're making somebody face charges that carry pretty significant penalties for, you know, wrong reasons. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I am I think I lean on the side that this was a mistake. Just don't want to say it all that strenuously until I know a little bit more from both sides. I basically, sent Mike a message and say, hey, if you want to comment, I'm open. I haven't talked to PPD about this yet either. I'm sure, on a Friday night, they're still kind of figuring everything out. I'm sure they'll be talking about it today. At least, internally they'll be talking about it, Chief Brown and Mike Wood and everybody else. Brad Bishop got interviewed by Channel 3 with Offensive talking about this case. He's kind of the founder of Offensive.
We would like to see the charges dropped against Mike. If there was no real harm there, then, we shouldn't be spending time and resources on that. To me, he's a pillar of our community.
Yeah, and that doesn't make it okay either way. I mean, it really doesn't matter whether you're a pillar of the community or just an average vagabond, or even routinely a criminal. It's not important who you are, your reputation. It's important, what are your rights in this exact moment? What are the laws on that exact piece of property right there, north of Garden on Palafox and that kind of odd median. It's kind of a park. It's kind of not a park space where Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza is. We'll come back to Brad's subsequent comments in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 look good, but if you're on Highway 29 going southbound toward 9 Mile Road, you're going to experience about a 9-minute delay in that area just due to congestion. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
By the way, I appreciate the text. Somebody says you might want to explain briefly where this park is. Some people new to the community may not know. Yeah, yes, always. It's an important thing to remind people of sort of the base. This is a side note, okay? But you make me think of it. I try, whenever there's a story, I try to, about a crime at this location or a crime at what, or I always try to find the geography for you. Because I don't assume that you know where that part of town is by name or even where that street is by name. A lot of times it's some street that I had not heard. Okay, well, it's up here in Beulah or it's over there in Warrington or it's in East Milton or whatever. Because I do. I think it's important for everybody to understand. So I appreciate that reminder. 437-1620. Other comments by Brad Bishop on Channel 3 last night.
Seems like there could be a more reasonable solution than somebody being arrested. And interrupting feeding people that may have not received another meal that day. And I think, city officials are on board with that idea as well. It's just sometimes systems have harmful protocols in place, and we just need to bring those to light and address them accordingly.
And sometimes systems get in the way, sometimes just, you need better training for all your officers. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. It's just, in this case, it seems like kind of the mistake maybe was made and didn't get backed off of, and that's sort of the issue. Oh, somebody sent me a picture and said it's a park, but the picture is of the Top of the Hill Park where the monument used to be. Used to be called Lee Square. I forget what we call that now. But anyway, that different part of that's up the hill. This is down the hill. Where the bust of Martin Luther King, south of Wright Street, the north end of Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza is the statue, the Galvez statue up on the horse, and the south end of it is basically Garden. So, 7:18 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
In an ever-changing world, it's important to know that God never changes. Governments change, interest rates change, the seasons change, relationships and even stoplights change. But the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. It says in the book of James that in God there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Malachi 3:6, God says, I am the Lord, I change not. The God that parted the Red Sea for Moses and the children of Israel to walk on dry land is the same God who can provide a way of escape from your trial. The God who dropped manna from heaven can provide heavenly nourishment for you today. In a world full of changes, rejoice in the fact that Jesus never changes.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
The average checking account pays less than a tenth of a percent. Penair Credit Union's high-yield checking, 5.05% APY. That's more than most savings accounts, and 70 times more than any old checking account. Make every deposit count. Learn more at penair.org/checking. Federally insured by NCUA. Penair's high-yield checking account pays up to 5.05% annual percentage yield with e-statements and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
One time, one world, two times, one love, three times, rewind. Cause I'ma dedicate this song to everyone I gotta shoot it.
Did you have one of those, John?
I didn't have one of those, but
you knew that, sound.
I knew it as soon as I heard it, because you would hear that thing going off everywhere
all
with everybody.
The time. The yes. Nextel chirp. 720 yes. On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. President Trump is defending Secretary of War Pete Hegseth over those reports that you talked about earlier, where he allegedly ordered the killing of everyone aboard a drug boat in the Caribbean, leading to a second strike to eliminate survivors. Venezuela is accusing the U.S. of murder. President Trump said Hegseth has denied giving that order, and he said he maintains that he believes him 100%.
Yeah, he was asked about this on Air Force One.
I don't know anything about it. He said he did not say that, and I believe him 100%.
You don't know if there was
You're talking
second,
about the two men?
The second strike to kill the
yeah.
two men.
No, he said he didn't strike. Do it. He said he never said
Would
that.
Would you be okay with that if he did?
He said he didn't do it, so I don't have to make that decision.
Yeah, so that's, you know... That's the issue. Did he say it? What exactly did he say? Could there have been a military justification for killing people who were, at least it would seem to be, unarmed and not posing any more threat? Could there have been a defense against, you know, them contacting anybody else? So, but, you know, it seems like, based on what we know, which is, you know, Washington Post reporting, that it was, you know, not a justified use of force, the second shot. But again, there's a lot to be unearthed here, and people are asking the question, well, we need to start unearthing it, right? So,
absolutely. The man accused of killing UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson is due back in court in Lower Manhattan today for a pretrial hearing involving evidence. Defense attorneys for Luigi Mangione are trying to get evidence thrown out that's related to his trial. The evidence was from his arrest in Pennsylvania last December. His defense team says law enforcement violated his Fifth Amendment rights and illegally searched his property. And today is Cyber Monday. 6 in 10 full-time employees apparently will be shopping at work this year. Most of them say they don't even feel guilty about it because everybody does it.
Well, that is what ethics is based on, right? Is if everybody does a thing, then it's fine. Right? I mean, that's...
I'm sorry, did you say so? I was trying to get this in my cart.
I mean, I taught ethics for 10 years, and that's what I taught. If everybody's doing it, it's fine. Right? I mean, that's just,
absolutely,
you know,
sure.
It's do-itism is what you call that. It's a very common ethical theory, you know. My friends are doing it, so I can do it. That's fine. Yeah, it's right there in the Bible. Right there in Exodus. It says, you know.
Pretty sure I used that defense a few times when I was a kid.
Yeah, for sure.
David, thanks so much Anytime. For the update. It's not in the Bible.
Yeah, people looking at it going, Andrew?
Well, give me your citation, sir. Stop it. Stop it. 722 on News Radio 92.3. Did you see that the White House has now launched a website against what it calls the fake media news sites and calls them out by name for stories they get wrong? Like, no, seriously, there's actually a part of the White House webpage apparatus that has been on Friday. It's designed to push back against all the fake news that's out there lying about this president who never, ever does anything wrong and never, ever makes any mistakes and always is 100% accurate in everything that he says or something. So anyway, it's fake news exposed, whitehouse.gov/media bias. One note, on Friday, when it launched, one of the first things that it listed as an error, as a fake news, was Fox News, which had asked questions in a press conference that promoted a fake narrative. The White House did take down the site briefly because Fox News said, we didn't actually say that. You've got somebody else identified as us. So the very first day of the anti-fake news White House website. It itself is the source of fake news.
Come on, man.
And briefly had a 404 page error where that page had been while they corrected their own mistake. That's a little funny. But yeah, it's actually got a chart. And it's, basically it has the story and who published it and then who is the reporter and then what's the category of violation. This is an A14/J violation of the truth. It's got everything on there from, let's see, I want to read this to you. This is too small. A print is too small for me. It lacks omission or it does not have the right kind of context around it. Lacks key facts. One is left-wing lunacy. it's just got all kinds of things here for why these various stories are. Listen, I've said this before. I will go ahead and say it again. If the president were a reporter, he'd get fired from every single job he'd ever try to hold. Right? I mean, you know. The president says things that are false all the time. I don't know whether they're always lies or whether they're just errors. There is a difference, okay? But he says stuff routinely that is false. He is not a reliable news source. I mean, you know that. Even if you love him, even if you are a big fan, and you'd vote for him again for three times if you could, you know? Please, we can't have a real conversation unless you're willing to acknowledge that he says things that are false all the time. He exaggerates all the time. He probably gets it wrong more than he gets it right. Even if you love him and agree, right? But you see that, right? We can't really have a conversation unless that's true. So for him to be the source of the, you know, test of whether something is fake news is, you know, it's absurd. Now, I have no problem philosophically with the president pushing back, with the president correcting. I don't mind the White House itself pointing out errors and disagreeing. That is also very clearly 1A, center of the bullseye, protected speech, political speech. The president can say and respond. He does not have to silently sit there when, you know, he thinks things are being said about him that are false and just take it. Clearly. But, but what is the standard? We'll talk about this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Apple Market, the biggest little grocery store on the Gulf Coast. Fresh food, local charm, friendly faces. Apple Market, 1021 Scenic Highway in Pensacola. Well, if you're deciding that you want to try to make it underneath the graffiti bridge, well, guess what? We have a box truck that is now stuck. So traffic is starting to back up in that area going northbound. So just be aware of that. Other than that, I-10, I-110, they are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. I'm actually, we got sent a picture, and so I'm going to go ahead and post that because, A, it's a good traffic note, and B, it's a, yet again, graffiti bridge, right? So hold on, I'm typing right now.
Whoa, you are?
Yeah, live update. I'm Facebooking while.
Whoa. Wow, you are multitasking, my friend, and shopping at the same time. I'm proud of you,
shopping.
Man.
I'm not shopping. Uh-huh. I don't shop on Cyber Monday. I mean, I'd shop for regular things. I just want to shop online for things. I'm not that guy. Look at that in real time. Posted to the Facebook.
Whoop, whoop.
It's a real story. 437.
And if you're listening to the podcast, you can go back and see the
That's right. Why is Facebook always asking me 5,000 questions to follow up just when I want to post a thing? Just let me post a thing. All right, sorry. First world problems done. Anyway, where was I? I was talking about something right before we took to the the White House's fake news expose site that they say Democrats and fake news media subversively imply different things, and this misleading bias and exposed media. They named the Boston Globe, CBS, The Guardian. I mean, everybody's on this. I'm surprised I'm not on this list. I'm probably just not prominent enough. You know, Washington Post, MSNBC, which I guess is now MS Now. Who cares? Everybody's on this list. Okay. Here's the thing. According to the president, you're lying, fake news biased if you disagree with him. Right? If you say something he doesn't like. And you're awesome, wonderful, the best truth tellers, the grandest, greatest journalist I've ever been. If you say something that he likes and agrees with him and says he's right. Well, that is not what makes something true or false. That is not what makes something good journalism or not. So here is the question, if I had the chance to ask it, that I would ask of the president or the administration, I would say, which news sources who disagree with you or criticize you do you nevertheless recognize as reputable, fair, and honest? And then you wait. Because you have to. You have to recognize that news sources who disagree with you and criticize you are still fair, honest arbiters of the truth. Just like you could also ask, which news sources agree with you or praise you, but you nevertheless recognize that they're unreliable, biased, terrible propaganda outlets? And wait and see, because, you know, you have to be able to say that too. I mean, that's just obvious. And if you can't say, that's a problem. But I think for this administration, it's good news, true, if it agrees with him and says he's right. And it's fake news, lies, and bias if it criticizes him or says he's wrong. Well, the truth is not defined by President Trump's claims and statements and behavior. It's defined, and he can be wrong or he can be right whether what he says or does adheres to the truth. That's why we call it the truth, not the Trump.
I'm CJ Papa, Special Envoy Steve Witkoff, heading to Russia for talks with Vladimir Putin following 4 hours of talks in Florida between U.S. and Ukrainian officials.
Our goal here is to end the war.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio. Dust up between President Trump, Minnesota Democratic Governor Tim Walz, who posted online, released the MRI results after the president insulted him last week. Fox's Chris Foster.
President Trump had an MRI during an exam in October, the White House saying it was routine.
If they want to release it, it's okay with me to release it. It's perfect.
Court date for Luigi Mangione, alleged killer of the United Healthcare CEO.
Mangione's lawyers say the 3D printed gun, the silencer, the red notebook with his writings, an iPhone and USB flash drives, well, all that should be excluded because they say the cops did not have a search warrant.
Fox's Eric Sean. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3, 55 degrees. Right now we've got cloudy skies. This morning we'll get to our forecast in a few minutes with meteorologist Brooke Richardson. A tragic crash in Escambia County could lead to charges for a local teenager. The Florida Highway Patrol says two pickup trucks crashed yesterday in Cantonment. Troopers say a 17-year-old from Molina was trying to make a left turn when he pulled into the path of another truck driven by a 21-year-old pregnant woman from Cantonment. Both drivers and a passenger in that woman's truck were taken to the hospital. FHP says the woman survived, but she did lose her unborn child. Investigators are still reviewing the case. Charges against the teen are expected once the report is finished. A Northwest Florida lawmaker wants to speed up how quickly the public can get government records. District 2 Representative Alex Andrade has filed a bill aimed at tightening Florida's public records law. Right now, agencies can sometimes take weeks or even longer to respond. Andrade's bill would require state and local governments to answer requests within 3 business days, limit how much they can charge, and impose stiffer penalties if they drag their feet. He says he's watched too many agencies ignore or delay legally required responses, leaving citizens in the dark about what the government is doing. The proposal says that if an agency wants to cite a legal exemption, it must say so immediately. Otherwise, it can't bring that up later in court. The Florida First Amendment Foundation is supporting the bill, saying the state's public record system is struggling under more than 1,200 exemptions and routine delays that make transparency more difficult for the public. In downtown Pensacola, a longtime community activist was arrested while helping to feed the homeless over the weekend. Police took Michael Kimbrell into custody Friday night during the Food Not Bombs meal at MLK Jr. Memorial Plaza. He's charged with violating a city ordinance and resisting arrest. The group has been serving free meals every Friday for 14 years. Police said the park was closed because it was after sunset. Kimbrell posted $1,000 bond. He was released on Saturday morning. Community leaders and homeless advocates are calling for the charges to be dropped, saying Kimbrell's been a steady force in providing support services across the city. A fire in Escambia County destroyed a shed and a vehicle on Saturday. Fire crews were called out about 1:30 that day, and five firefighting units worked to stop the flames from spreading. A nearby home suffered only minor damage. Mobile Highway was shut down for about an hour and a half. Firefighters were able to bring things under control and no injuries were reported. Investigators are still trying to figure out exactly how that fire started. Airbus has now finished rolling out a big software fix after a frightening incident involving a JetBlue flight back in October. Investigators say solar radiation interfered with the aircraft's flight control software, causing the jet to briefly nosedive. Airbus quickly developed an update designed to prevent that glitch from happening again. Retired Captain Richard Levy says the solution addresses how the system reacts to unexpected radiation spikes.
So the software will be able, if there's a sunspot activity again, it will not, hopefully, and I doubt, it'll be reactive. And the computers will not react from the sunspot activity.
About 6,000 Airbus planes worldwide needed the update, which took about 2 hours per plane. Big carriers like American and Delta say they wrapped up their installations over the weekend. There were a few delays during one of the busiest travel periods of the year, but aviation experts say it was necessary to ensure safety. 735 at News Radio, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you are on Garden Street going westbound between L and M Street, there's an excavator stuck under an oak tree, so be aware of that. Also, avoid the graffiti bridge area. We've got another box truck stuck underneath the bridge, so that's going to cause you some delays in that area. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. Highway 29 southbound as you approach 9 Mile Road. About a 10-minute delay in that area, and also Highway 90 southbound approaching Pensacola. About a 10-minute delay for that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Well, thank you very much for that update, John. Graffiti Bridge remains undefeated. 55 and cloudy right now here in Pensacola. Let's get a check on our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to have about a 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms going through the day today. Most of the rain chances is going to be later on into the evening hours. Highs today near 69 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 57. Going into Tuesday, those early morning showers will continue, coming to an end as we go into the commuting hours. High on Tuesday afternoon near 65 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 41. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. We've got 55 degrees, cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Bring on the popcorn. AMC Theaters is launching the AMC Popcorn Pass today for a half-off discount on a large popcorn every day through the end of the year. The pass is roughly $30. Despite a brief pandemic-induced recession, higher inflation, and rising borrowing costs since 2020, the wealthy have gotten considerably wealthier. A Visa analysis says the threshold to be in the top 10% of U.S. households by net worth grew from about $1.3 billion to $1.8 million over the last 5 years, largely due to rising stock and home values. International students studying in the U.S. is falling. Department of State data says that amid a battle over immigration policies and international student visas, the tally of new international students studying in the U.S. sank 17%. International students at U.S. colleges and universities contributed $55 billion to the U.S. economy over the 2024 to 2025 academic year. Futures are moderately lower. That's Your Money Now.
Running a business is tough, but getting connected shouldn't be. Data Revolution is making it easy with free installation of phones and network upgrades. Whether you're opening a new office or upgrading your current setup, our expert team handles everything fast, reliably, and with zero installation fees. Search Data Revolution today to schedule your free installation and see our over 70 five-star reviews. Data Revolution is helping your business stay connected.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to the Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to the Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio. Oh, oh, oh.
Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Jimmy Petronas, our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1. Jimmy, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. Great to have you. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Are you still? Yeah, I was about to ask you, are you still stuffed from Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah. I eat too much. And they came out with today is the day you're supposed to stop eating your turkey. And I'm like, come on now. I'm eating turkey
Whatever.
Through at least Thursday. That's not a problem for me. You were...
Yeah, the boys are all eating ham this morning for breakfast.
That's right. You deep fried, didn't you? How'd that go?
No, so I did not deep fry. Oh. We couldn't figure out what we were doing as a family, so I ended up going over to my mom's house. Mom's 90, and she had this, some of y'all remember as kids, congealed salad. It's like Jell-O dessert.
Okay.
And so we ended up making congealed salads together had those with the family. So that was kind of a little throwback.
Oh, I like that. Hey, I don't know if there's any news on this front, but I did want to ask you just because I think it's such a big deal for our area. Any update on the drilling in the Gulf and the concerns about, you know, interfering with the test range and all the stuff? And you had mentioned to us last week about it's not just always in the air over, but it's in the, you know, undersea operations as well. Any updates on any of that?
No. So, you know, I think the way all of it kind of came out right before the holiday, I mean, pretty much a lot of folks check out in D.C. We're waiting on the House bill to drop. The Senate bill has dropped. Both Ashley Moody and Rick Scott have filed a bill that protects drilling from taking place in the Gulf Range. In the case in the House, Byron Donalds out of Southwest Florida, he has got the Senate companion in the House, and so we're just waiting for Byron to release the bill so we can go pile on.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, here's hoping, because none of us want to see platforms anywhere out there in the Gulf, for sure. So let's hope that turns out.
And it's just such a, to me, I think it's just a case of the right hand not talking to the left hand. You've got the president having momentum with wanting to have total control over our energy independent future, our future of our independence with energy. But then you throw the dynamics into what's happening down in the Caribbean and off the coast of Venezuela.
Yeah.
And you kind of see the importance of being able to still have those military missions here. So, I mean, we're all working and making our case.
Speaking of that, this is actually my next topic I want to talk with you about. You and I have talked previously. I would love to see a declaration of war and or an authorization for the use of military force, an AUMF. I just at least want to see that the evidence has been presented at least in private session to the House Armed Services Committee or somebody to vet the strikes that have now killed more than 80 people. But we now have two things, three possible land strikes, which I think is a even higher level of scrutiny and a higher level of, you know, legal bar. Second, the closure of the airspace, if it is even closed. Trump, of course, saying that on Truth Social. But now the allegations against Pete Hegseth, that he had the second strike against the very first drug boat that killed the two people in the water after they were no longer running the drugs or being a threat against him. You know, first of all, let's start with that. I assume you want to know more, because I know I want to know more. If this is true, this is very concerning, right?
Yeah, everybody wants to know more. And if that's, you know, if that's the case, it's going to be a big problem. We'll already have a interest by the House Armed Services Committee. I know Don Bacon has been kind of leading the inquiry into that. So there'll be full transparency as to the closing of the airspace. All you got to do is go look at FlightAware, and there's no planes flying over Venezuela. And to me, this is what has triggered the phone call from Trump. Maduro to Trump yesterday or the day before yesterday, because that is like, you know, a real control over their economy that I think that probably Maduro didn't think Trump could do or thought of or would do. So,
well, if it had been laid out as a plan in advance, and there's no reason to assume that it wasn't, if you take out a bunch of drug boats and then say close the airspace or else, you know, would you as a pilot want to fly there? You know, and then of course, what would actually happen if we were to shoot down a plane?
No,
you know, these are all real questions.
So, the table being set. If I'm clearing the airspace, it's obvious that we don't want to have any mishaps over Venezuelan airspace. So I mean, it's a real message to Maduro, and you know, he's got to change his way. The crazy thing about it is, you just kind of wonder how much is Maduro being propped up by the cartels himself, and how maybe does he really have any control over what, you know, he's living in now?
Yeah, sometimes you get, you know, you find yourself in charge of the parade that won't wait for you. You know, if you decide to stop, it'll just run you right over if you decide to do anything else. We're talking to Jimmy Petronas, our congressman from District 1. Hang on just a second, Jimmy. Traffic on the files with John Pickens.
That's right. We're still dealing with an excavator stuck under an oak tree on Garden westbound between L and M Street. So be prepared for that. Also, Graffiti Bridge, the box truck is stuck. So see some delays there in that area going northbound. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Let's talk a little bit, Congressman Jim Petronas, let's talk a little bit about the horrible attack against the National Guardsman that wound up killing one and the other one still fighting for his life. The president has now paused visas. He's paused refugee. Third world folks are not coming here. Afghanistan is not coming here. You know, we have 190,000 the reporting that I've read is 190,000 Afghans here. Another 250,000 have applied. We got Haiti, the 350,000 Haitians are being told that they won't have temporary protective status come February. You know, obviously the president has taken a very firm stance about trying to eject illegal immigrants. But these are all legal people, you know, at least they are if they stay within their status. Thoughts about, you know, just basically putting up a sign that says absolutely no for now?
Right now, considering what we just saw, how we saw a radicalized Afghani that, you know, made multiple coast-to-coast trips, and this is the one where he actually, you know, committed murder. And, I mean, this crazy guy was armed with a snub-nose .357 revolver. I mean, to be able to hit something with a snub-nosed .357 revolver, you got to be pretty stinking close.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to see that type of anger that is there, and you kind of wonder, man, are these animals even, you know, even remotely, do they have the ability to be normalized into society? So, yeah, I kind of think what the president is pushing back on, you know what, until we understand what we're dealing with, let's hit the pause button, you know, and just the policies, just like remain in Mexico and these others, you know, what is wrong with not allowing that type of operational interest of coming back to the United States? Why not force people that want to come here to go and make themselves known through the proper channels? I'm supporting where the president's, you know, head is on this. We've got to push back on these crazies. I mean, you know, this is a shame. I mean, this family got devastated for Thanksgiving, and we've got a country in mourning.
Yeah, I of course, in this particular case, and it's horrible what happened to both of them. I also always feel like the balance here, the challenge is Afghanistan. We had so many people work with us, so many people translate for us. This person worked with the CIA in some capacity that we, I guess, still don't really quite know what. And, you know, the thought was, and rightly so, that, hey, you know, if Afghanistan falls to the Taliban, you can't just leave these people over there because they will suffer and or be killed. And, you know, if we ever decided to send them all back, you know, the Taliban's going to welcome them at the airport, you know. He was vetted to some degree. You know, he had to have been. He got approved by the Trump administration for his asylum claim or whatever. I guess I don't know how to cut the balance, you know. hundreds of thousands of people in this country who we want to help, right?
As we reflect on how that debacle was handled, you know, there was a lot of problems that this administration has inherited, including, you know, individuals who are problematic. When you have that type of evacuation, I know our heart goes out to those that were helping us there.
Right.
But, you know, you had an evacuation that did not do any proper vetting, because it was like the evacuation before a hurricane is making landfall. Everybody's trying to get the heck out of Dodge. So, I mean, we got some rotten apples with that effort. You know, I just it's a mess. But I think right now, shut it down and let's get our arms around what the hell we've got on our hands.
You know, one of the things this administration does a lot of stuff, and I think sometimes you and I mostly talk more about the administration than about what Congress is doing. But, you know, here we are. This is kind of how it is.
Sure.
Cutting the ties the Pentagon and the Boy Scouts, or now I guess it's just the Scouts. The National Jamboree will no longer get medical and logistical aid from the Pentagon. You know, 20,000 scouts come to town in West Virginia. Military bases are no longer, installations are no longer going to be able to, you know, house and hold events on. I always thought that the scouts, I was a scout, not a great one, second class, but my family's like first class and lifers and eagles and stuff. I was the failure in the family. But I always thought that scouting was a great preparation course for people who might eventually join the military. You know, it's all about service and country and, you know, all of the good things. Do you think this is useful for us to have the Pentagon say no more for the scouts?
Well, I think right now you've got a culture that has been introduced into scouting, which is not the same culture that was there when you were in the scouts.
Agreed.
Or my brother was in the scouts. And I think there has been some indoctrination that has just not been healthy. You know, pumping the brakes on this and let's try to let a little bit of a cooling off take place is probably not a bad thing. We have seen, you know, policies that aren't necessarily probably in the best interest of creating the type of scout we had remembered as a kid. And you know what? That board of directors will go through a deep dive of what their mission is going to be moving forward. Sometimes you have to send a message in order to get, you know, those organized groups like that and those leadership efforts to reevaluate what their mission is and what they're going to do. So it may not cure itself overnight, but, you know, we may be having a different conversation this time next year about, you know, what scouting is seeing and the role they play with the development of our young minds.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading a report on this said that as much as a third of Navy officers have some kind of a scouting background, which seems about right to me. I mean, I would not be surprised that it's very, very high. But at the same time, you know, I actually share the concerns, particularly with integrating scouts for boys and girls, because I've always thought that, you know, boy-only spaces are different and girl-only spaces are different. And there's something lost when everything becomes intergendered, you know, whether it's dorms in college or anywhere else.
1,000%. You know, there are ways boys only hanging out with boys act differently. I mean, you know, they joke differently. They have fun differently. You blend them together at a young age. To me, that's kind of disrupting just the development of how those little minds are supposed to work.
Yeah, there's just something different. There is something, and I know the culture around us is wanting us to pretend like genders don't exist and, you know, to erase all these barriers. But women need to have organizations where there's just women, and men need to have organizations where there's just men, and boys and girls the same way, because they are just different. There's something you cannot get in a mixed gender environment that you do get in a solo gender environment. So I definitely see where they're coming from anyway. Well, Jimmy, I know you're glad to be back at work. Anything coming up this week that we ought to be paying attention to for Congress?
No, it's going to be a busy week this week. I saw on the agenda, it sounds like we're probably going to be voting on the SCORE Act. And this is, you know, Congress's attempt to wrap our arms around NIL in the portal and caps and dollars. And I don't think I'm going to vote for it. It's a first step. It's not a perfect bill. I think we've allowed the NCAA to just destroy collegiate athletics. And, you know, now it's Congress, you know, which you really want to send this body in there to go fix up collegiate sports. But right now, that's the only choice we've got because of just the ineptness of the weakness of the leadership of the NCAA not doing their stinking job. So now we're going to have a weak, watered-down solution to an already bad situation.
As you say, Congress is not necessarily the people you call first when you have a problem. So if it's up to Congress, you know the thing has kind of gotten out of hand already. Jimmy Petronas, he is our congressman from Florida's District 1, Northwest Florida's District 1. Jimmy, as always, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again next week, sir.
Y'all have a great week. Take care.
You too. 7:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Yeah, this has always been my concern about something like the Scouts is... Or any entity. It's important for boys to have boy-only spaces. It's important for girls to have girl-only. It's weird that you say that about girls and people don't think it's controversial, right? But then you say it about boys and all of a sudden it's not controversial. Boys are different around boys. And all boy environments are different than mixed environments and are different than girl environments. I have not paid a lot of attention to scouting over the years. Again, I was kind of the embarrassment in my family. I mean, my stepdad's an Order of the Arrow. My grandfather was a Silver Beaver. Like, you know, like I'm around the people who were really into scouting, and I got second class.
And what happened?
I don't know. I just didn't continue after a while. There's no particular reason for it. I don't even remember why I stopped going to scouts. I tried just doing other things as well. So, you know, like maybe first year of high school maybe is when I stopped doing scouting. Trying to remember exactly. Anyway, great organization. At least it used to be. But again, and by the way, there can be a value in sort of mixed gender spaces, obviously. But if a thing is one thing based on same gender for its entire history, we'll leave it be that thing because you fundamentally change it when you integrate it that way. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We've got another box truck that lost the battle to Graffiti Bridge, so it's blocking traffic right now. So just be aware of that. Also, Highway 29 southbound as you approach I-10, seeing some major delays in that area just due to congestion. I-10, I-110, all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Saline from Vicks.
Sinex Saline Nasal Spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Saline instantly clears everyday congestion associated with colds and year-round allergies with a gentle, ultra-fine mist that's no mess and easy to control.
Daddy, we need more balloons!
On it!
Enjoy life's important moments without congestion. Try Sinex Saline from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
This is Nikki at Wild Greg Saloon wishing you a safe holiday season. Remember, please don't drink and drive.
This is Matt Farmer from Wave Men's Health, and I'd like to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hi, this is Motisha with Trustmark Bank wishing you a joyful and magical Christmas filled with love, laughter, and cherished moments.
Hey, this is Dick Appleyard from Appleyard Duncan McCall wishing everyone a wonderful holiday season, and we love working with our friends from Cat Country.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other show. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Call Jeff Wayne to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I got a good text in here. Somebody writes and says, completely disagree. I spent 12 years in scouting with two Eagles. Jimmy doesn't know what he's talking about, and I assume me also don't know what I'm talking about. Scouts change because the parents wanted it. They wanted a place where they could take their whole family, not just the boys. This makes me so angry. It doesn't have anything to do with breaking genders. It's just scouting. Camping is still separate. There are so many rules about the girls and the boys. They basically can only get together for eating sometimes. Parents wanted it. It's not about boys being separated from girls. It's the fact that families want to do things as a family now. Okay. Again, remember what I said at the very end. I said it's not saying there's not a value in the mixed gender activity. I'm just saying that it's different. And the difference is important. You know, Girl Scouts is all girls. If it's all girls, is different than if it's some boys. And Boy Scouts is different if it's all boys than if it's some girls. And if it's just plain open and very mixed, that's a different thing. It might be a wonderful thing, but it's different. And as somebody who believes that there need to be male-only spaces and female-only spaces, I don't like the loss of that male-only space, that I think it's important for boys to learn from other boys how to be men and to learn from men how to be men, and that's not the same. If you have a, you know, scout mom, love them though we do, that's different than being scout dad. And the things you learn from them are different. That's all I was saying. And again, there's a loss of a sort, even if the new thing is actually quite good.